everybody. Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast.
Woohoo!
I'm Ron.
And I'm Chelsea. And we're still married.
It is another week of quality marriage material.
Woohoo!
Okay, we are here and we are semi-hype, but really, we're really hype on the inside, but we're trying to be cool.
It's true.
10 episodes in, all right? Now, we wanted to quit at 2.
Okay. Well,
we discussed it and we said, look.
No, we didn't.
We don't know if we're gonna look. We don't know if the Lord is really blessing us or not. I mean, we're 2 episodes in. I feel like we should be great by now. And I don't necessarily feel like we are, so maybe we need to rethink this.
Is that really what you were thinking? We didn't discuss that, guys.
No, I was rethinking. I've been rethought it from the jump. Like, hey, should we even be doing a podcast? And that's a real thing to talk about. We didn't really want to quit the podcast because that's goofy. Who starts a podcast and does 2 episodes and it's just like, you know what? This isn't for me. It wasn't for you at 0 podcasts. Like, you could have just stuck at 0.
I mean, people have done that.
People are thugs, Chelsea.
Okay. Well, you never know. Maybe just circumstances came up where they were like, this isn't going to pan out the way I thought.
Quit. How dare you quit on the Lord. But
terrible.
It's like for us, because we have things we want to do and they generally revolve around music or the arts and stuff like that. But a podcast is completely different. Right?
It is.
So just doing it is just like, hey, you're about to do something you've never done before.
This is true.
Like, so this is the story. This is what happened. This is how the podcast came to be. Are we ready, everybody? This is impromptu story time. This is not on the itinerary.
Must I say? I just have to say.
Say it.
I literally thought earlier today about the podcast, and I feel like I had like a foresight of you telling people this.
Well, hey, you have been known to be prophetic.
Yeah, it was weird. Wow.
And I thank you.
All right, go ahead.
I work at in a warehouse. You know, I work in a warehouse. I'm also a minister of music, you know, out here trying to pay these bills.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And they're getting paid.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord, we don't take it for granted.
Let's not take it for granted. But me and my wife are put together for a purpose. We know that because just the way our gifts are. And it was generally musically, where it's like she's a singer, I'm a singer. She's really a musician too, but she, you know, like just a self-taught musician where she can sit down and play a piano. Like you wouldn't know, oh, she doesn't play the piano really. You can't really tell. I know. You don't want to accept it. I've accepted it. You should as well. You know how to play. You know how to play songs. You know what I mean?
Okay, like,
people
sure.
People who don't know
that.
How to piano, they don't know how to sit down and play anything because they
I
don't
see.
Play.
Okay, okay, right? I'll give you that.
Very good. So, like our daughter has perfect pitch. She's a singer. It's like, okay, so music is in the blood. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Yes, but I had an idea that came to me. I can remember what I was doing. I was in a flat aisle. See, I ride a Lyft. The flats are like headboards and tables, and they put them in a box that's a flat. We just call it a flat. It doesn't matter what it is. You flip it into the aisle, and I was in mid-flip, and the idea came to me. It hit me in the head. Y'all should do a marriage podcast. And literally, joy came into my soul. Like, I could feel it. Like it was like I was so happy. Like, I know it had to be from the Lord. Because first of all, we don't do podcasts, right? Or at least we didn't. We're podcasters now.
Right.
But at the time, we had never done anything like that. And that's not in our vein of ministry. But it literally came to me as if it was so obvious. It was like, of course we should do a marriage podcast. Like,
right.
That was the feeling I had. It was like, obvious, of course. And I was so happy. Like, I could not wait to tell you. Like, yo, we should do a marriage podcast. Which is so funny. But lo and behold, it's like, now it's like, okay, well, we're going to do a marriage podcast. Okay, how do you do a podcast?
Right, that's the... No.
Then you have to, like, work out all the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get it distributed and record it. What are we going to record it on?
I must say, you've done a lot of research.
Yeah.
And, like, you've done a lot.
In a short amount of time.
You've done a lot to just, like, put all of this together very quickly.
Listen, dear, I've come to learn that people have excuses.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
This is real talk. It's like an excuse is really low key just a lie. Really.
I mean, that's true.
It's like a, and some, okay, and, all right, let me find, I'll give some people some space because sometimes people have a more legitimate excuse.
Well, I usually differentiate it by saying excuses versus reasons.
Right.
Here's, sometimes you have a valid reason.
Valid reasons.
Yeah.
Most people, 99% is just excuses. I didn't have time. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
You do.
What do you mean?
Really, you do.
You know what I mean? It's like if you actually counted the time that you were doing something that was completely unproductive, mm-hmm. hours of free time, mm-hmm. hours on a daily. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it's just not a priority. But I wanted to make it a priority.
Yeah.
And hey, lo and behold, you'd be surprised. We're podcasters now. Hey, my name is Ron. Woo-hoo. I'm going to start telling people I'm a podcaster.
Well, you are.
I'm a podcaster.
You are.
Up here, let's sing these songs though. Lord Jesus,
yeah.
Up here singing. All right, check out my page, y'all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, though. All right, yeah. Check out the podcast. But we're at episode 10, yeah. And
10 weeks.
It feels 40. Good. How do you feel at episode 10, lovely?
I mean, I feel interesting because the way it hit you, it didn't hit me that way.
Yes.
So, like, I am enjoying doing it. Mm-hmm. It's pleasant.
It is pleasant. Best part of my week.
And people have been, the feedback that we've been getting from people has been very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm growing more fond of it in knowing how it is blessing people.
Right.
I don't know though, because I'm someone who has started and stopped a lot of things. Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's harder for me to get excited about things. Mm-hmm. I think it takes me like a long time to accept that something is something.
It's actually a solid thing.
Yeah, before right. I'm able to really feel any feelings about it.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm still in that area of like, mm-hmm. I think I'm starting to get to where like, oh, okay, we do this now. Like, yeah. This is a thing we're doing and it's working out, you it know, is. And okay. You know, so
two are better than one, Chels.
It's true.
That's the key. That's really the key. It's both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's the key to our successes in general of actually getting, like, anything we've done together is always great.
Well, that's true.
Like the plays we did at the church. I mean, music making,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. It's always great when we do it together.
It's true.
But you're more collaborative anyway. You know, I'll be off on the side. Just like, hey, you just go over there and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And... just make me a sandwich, please, because I'm hungry. I'm famished from all this work that I have to do alone.
Terrible.
If only I had a partner, but I don't, so just please.
Well, Emmy, in your defense, I know that a lot of your hesitation in collaboration is because of the children, because typically you're off doing, you know, your independent creativity, and I have the children. Yeah. And if we were to come together... then we would have the children while we are trying to do things. And we've done it.
Yes.
But you are definitely more sensitive to, like, for me, the kids become like background noise. Like, I don't even hear them anymore. I really don't. Like, I don't know if that also has to do with the fact that I have a background in working in a preschool all day. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I've done like VPS, I've done, you know, children's choir. I've done, like, I've worked with kids so much and been a mother who is like a full time stay at home mom for so long at this, like for six, almost 7 years at this point.
Yeah.
So like, I don't even, I have to accomplish everything I accomplish with them there.
That's true.
So I don't think that I really am as affected by that. Like, and I don't think my brain even ever is like, oh, well, what are we going to do with the kids while we do X, Y, Z? It's like, I do everything while the kids are there. So it doesn't even cross my mind. But for you, you know, having had that freedom to go independently do anything, then having to do it with the children, I can imagine how that would be a little more flustering for somebody who doesn't do that all the time.
Well, it's truly, it's very hampering to progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, mainly at their ages.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, older kids are just, hey, go somewhere because I'm busy.
Right.
You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a 6-year-old girl who is very curious, which and I don't, and that's fine. It's good to be curious. I mean, they're all curious. I'm like, and I don't want to kill that in her anyway.
Right.
So she asked me questions. Generally, I'll either get her to derive at the let's derive this. That was an unnecessary. Hey, daddy, what are you drinking out of?
Like literally verbatim, real question. Real question.
I was like, well, what do you think this is? A cup? I was like, okay, so did you need to ask me that question?
Nope.
All right, then.
But that's real life, though. That's literally real life.
That's real life. But when she asks me a reasonable, even sometimes I'll just answer it, but you know, when she asks me a reasonable question, I'll just give her the answer, and I'll just be like, yep, that's what it is. That's fine. You're asking questions. That's great. It's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, James is just a thug. Like, JJ is he's a thug. He doesn't care.
No,
like,
he doesn't.
Not to, he'll grab your plate. He'll cry. He's literally running around. He was shouting at church. He's like, sir, this is a Baptist church. Like, you haven't even seen anybody shout.
Right, where did you get
Why
this
Why are
from?
Your feet so tight? Like, you got strong footwork, oh, sir. Like, man. You've been doing this in heaven. Did. Like, before you got here, you was with the Lord. Like, I was with the Lord, Dad. You see
For
his
real,
feet.
Though. And he literally will, like, bend over and grab either my knees or the couch. And remember, he used to do that a lot when he was, like, one. And then he took a break.
Oh, he took a
and
break.
And he's bringing it back.
He's backslide. That's what it was. He was backsliding. Now he's back with the Lord. He's right back in. And feet is... Jesus, and he's right there on him.
Yeah, like, no, always stomping, this? Always running, always on something or grabbing something he shouldn't grab. Yeah, always bugging. Screaming.
Yes,
kicking the wall. Yes. It, like if he's in the crib now, he kicks the wall. He'll like stand in his crib and hold the side and jump up and down. He runs back that. And forth.
Everything.
And it's like, I mean, he's two.
I don't want to hear your excuse. That's
well, no,
excuse.
I mean, he's two. Like serious. I mean, they call it two. Terrible twos.
He is out here.
And like you know, I don't like to speak that over
yeah, you don't want to predispose
my children. Yes, so I'm not going to say they are in their terrible twos, but people call it the terrible twos.
Yes,
for a reason.
He's heard about that term.
And yes, he's heard about it.
I'm testing it out, Daddy.
But really, he's a sweet baby, though.
He's
not
sweet.
It, like you know, if he's crying, you know what he wants.
Yes.
It's easy to console him. Generally,
food.
Like.
I want food, Dad.
I mean, that's basically it. It's either food or that's it.
That's,
like, what else does he cry
much,
about?
Or I'm just, why are you telling me to stop climbing?
Right.
Or I want to climb on the
and
window.
And even with that, he'll cry for 2 minutes and then he stops. Yeah, like, not he's not hard to.
Just,
yeah.
All right.
Moving on.
Done
all
with right. that now.
Yeah, real we can't thug. Really complain. He's not too bad.
That's real thug material.
No, because when I tell you Corey could, to this day, she can hold on to a cry.
Oh, man, you ain't lying.
She can hold on. We had a whole conversation earlier today where I was like, ma'am, first of all, let's not cry about this because it's not real.
It's not real.
It's not real.
It's real to her.
It is real to her. But I want her to understand that it's not real.
It's true.
I'm not saying, because sometimes your feelings are not valid. Like, that's real.
Often.
Like, sometimes that's true, especially when you're six.
Surely.
And, like, literally, last thing, and then we can move on. Literally, months ago, I said to her that I was thinking about taking out her dresser, because she has the dresser mm-hmm. with the mirror, and then she has the chest of drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And we need the chest because her TV is on it, so it's also acting as a TV stand.
Right.
But I was thinking about getting rid of her dresser, because as they get older, like, both of them can play in her room instead of playing in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if we get rid of the dresser, she has more room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's more able to be unsupervised, you know, he would have more room.
Sure.
So I'm like, that would be good. But then I talked to you about it and you were like, yeah, but let's hold on to it because once we move, you know, like he's going to, and as he gets older, he's going to need bigger furniture
mm-hmm.
than what he has right now. And we can, you know, split that up amongst them and we don't want to get rid of it. And I'm like, well, that's true. But I never told her that that was what we arrived at. This, I don't even remember when this was anymore, Ron. That was a long, because you remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. Am I right?
Yeah, pretty long.
Like, it might have been a year ago. And she brings it up today, like, Mommy, remember you said you were going to take the dresser out of my room?
You said.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And obviously. She's like, are you going to do it? And I was like, well, no, because Daddy and I talked about it and we decided we need to keep it because we may be able to use it in the future and we don't have anywhere to move it to right now.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, okay. Next thing I know. And I'm like, wait, no, first of all, let's stop. Because we forgot this even happened. And it's not a big deal. I'm like, you guys can still play in the living room like you always do. I was like, it would be different if I said you're never going to play with JJ again, or y'all don't have no room that you're allowed to play in anymore, or you woke up and your toys were gone. No, it's just that.
This is you. You diverted my dream.
Like, what in the world? I'm like, first of all, let's not cry. I'm like, it's okay for you to feel sad, yes. But we don't have to have such an overreactive emotional response every time.
It's real.
And she's like, but I really wanted to do that. And she was holding on to it. And then 5 minutes later, I really did want to do that. And I was like, look, I don't want to be sad, so you can go pull yourself together.
What's the Daniel Tiger song? It has to be a song for
there's
that.
There's a first of all, Daniel Tiger is my co-parent, okay?
It's not me.
I sing a Daniel Tiger. No, it's not. It's Daniel Tiger.
He's out here.
Nah, he's our co-parent, but I utilize him more.
Sure enough.
But no, there is a Daniel Tiger song for everything.
Yeah, when you get upset, go sit down. When they tell you to shut up, do it. That's the Black Daniel Tiger version. Sit down somewhere for you get a beating. And he'll be right there just waiting. Oh,
oh
man.
My gosh.
This is our 10th episode.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
10th episode. We're excited. Black Daniel Tiger. Kids crying. I forgot to say, like and share.
Yes.
Please like and share.
Yes.
If you feel like you have a great marriage, like and share.
Yeah.
If you want to be married, like and share.
Yeah.
Subscribe. If you feel like you know somebody who needs this, you can like it and share and put it on your page or share it with them. Say, hey, I see y'all arguing all
Tag
the time.
Somebody.
Y'all should watch this couple that laughs together.
Hilarious.
This is how they do. You see, they sit there and they talk and then they laugh. Y'all should try that.
Okay. Terrible.
You should do that for them. They need
For the record, we do not laugh all the time. It is
That's
not
arguable.
Always fun and games.
Like 90. Well, it's fun and games and laughing is two different things. We probably laugh 90% of the time.
Yeah, I think we laugh even when we're having a disagreement.
Yeah, because stuff be funny.
Yeah, we're just funny people.
We are funny.
But, you know.
Listen, let's get into this. What is all this? Right. That was our introduction.
Yes.
What's the word of the week, dear?
It is principle. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about principles today from TV show couples.
TV show couples.
Woohoo, we're excited.
It is my 10 against your 10.
I thought we weren't going to do the competition.
It's the 10 I have and the 10 she has.
Yes.
There's no verses now.
Okay, no verses.
Took it out just like that. I'm being over-competitive as a man.
Well, you know what? No. Y'all can do it. Let's do it. Why not?
Oh, I was going to bring them in, but that would be fine. Let's see if people could come and say, whose 10 do you like better? Who has a better 10?
Who had 10? A stronger 10?
All right.
TV
We're talking
couples.
About 10 principles from your favorite TV couples.
Yes.
All right. There are some great TV couples out there. But we tried to get some offbeat ones. At least I tried to get a few offbeat ones.
I tried to get a couple that were a little more.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little more off the beaten path.
Yes. But, you know, we can learn from people's successes as well as people's failures. So the definition of principle is a rule or belief governing one's personal behavior. For example, struggling to be true to their own principles.
Struggling to be true.
That is the example that the Oxford Dictionary had. Because it's true. We be struggling. We have our principles. Uh-huh. We have our beliefs and our rules that govern our behavior. But do they always govern our behavior?
Wow. I think our true principles actually govern our behavior. Mm. Our ideal principles are just ideas. I mean, sometimes I feel like they overlap. Like I have a principle that you are my wife and I shouldn't put my hands on you.
Right.
Therefore, I don't. However, if I say a man should never hit a woman and I'm out here Ike Turner in you, that's my actual principle is, yes, you should specifically hit your woman upside the head.
Well, is that your principle or is that just a weak area?
So the question is, do you really believe it? It's like, you know, I think it can be a struggle, but I still, until you get over that struggle, I feel like your true struggle is still whatever it is.
Right. Like,
until you can actually believe it, or, you know, then you don't really believe it or perform it or do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually believe it.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a lot of things that, because, like, some people may believe that they should not drink, but if they have an alcohol addiction, then it doesn't mean they don't believe that they shouldn't drink.
Okay.
Well, it means that they have a really sincere struggle to, to defeat the temptation to do it anyway.
But drawing the line between an addiction, like addiction is a brain issue.
Well, sure. Yes, that's like they say, it's a disease.
So I would say addiction is almost separate.
Okay.
Because now that's something you almost can't control until you can figure out your brain on how to control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, even when you think about the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You know, so apart from the Holy Spirit giving you more self-control, you know, sometimes the issue is with self-control.
Yeah.
Rather than belief, I think.
Okay.
Because even with hitting people, like people that hit their spouse, because I mean, mostly men that hit their wives, but I've heard of some wives that hit their husbands.
They're out there.
So, you know, with people who hit their spouse, it's usually a temper control issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they may believe that they should not, but in a fit of rage, they may not be able to control that impulse.
Okay. I feel like that's a fair point.
Yeah.
But I was still go back to the point saying that in your heart, like your true belief, you know, you still don't believe it.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like
we can agree to disagree.
Even
on
going
that
back
one.
To salvation, I was actually sharing this with the Bible study this morning about people in salvation in Christ. Like the part I feel like people get wrong is belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Your belief in him is not you saying I believe in him.
Yeah.
Your belief in him is literally internally true belief to the point where you say to yourself, I have come to this is the belief that Jesus Christ is who he said he was.
Yeah.
Oh, he came to save people. Oh, so that means I need saving from something.
Yeah.
And you identify as his child and you realize, yo, my sin killed Christ
right
on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He resurrected, but it was my sin that put him there.
Yeah.
So I'm now going to turn away from my sin because I believe that Christ is who he said he was. He literally was the Lamb of God.
Right.
He literally was God incarnate in the flesh, and that I should follow him by turning away from the sin that put him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was sharing. I'm like, yo, like, do you realize, like, when you sin, like, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and now you willingly sin, like, imagine how insulting that is to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, like first of all, he's there. Like, like he knows. And he is like, you're sitting there sinning. It's like, yo, like he's looking at you like, yo, you realize I died for this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare you like sit here and just be like, I don't care. I'm just going to do it because I feel like it's like, yo, I died for this.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to me? You're insulting me.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm talking about willingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Right.
I was thinking that's the word. That's right. What I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
The word is willingly versus unwillingly.
Right.
Because Paul says the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do.
Right.
I always struggle to say that.
It's getting into, you know, it literally says practicing. Like, you know, the idea of practicing sin.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of, like, literally when you practice something, it's like, I'm trying to get good at this.
Yeah.
It's like, how dare you look at Christ and be like, hey, I know you died for these sins, but I'm going to keep trying to get good at them.
Right.
I'm going to practice them so I can kind of get it down.
Oh, well, I've never looked at it that way.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, like, yeah, every day. Yeah, every day is a good amount for me to do it. Yeah. I would do it every day. And he's like, I thought you believed in me.
Mm.
It's like, how can you believe in me, but you won't turn away from sin?
And here's the thing. That's the question.
That's the question.
A good tree cannot bear good bad fruit.
That's right.
So, and it's not that a saved Christian is not going to sin.
Right.
But you will be convicted.
Sure.
Because certainly. The Bible says that when you are saved, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, yes, you can quench the Spirit. But if there's something to quench, that means it rose up in the first place, right?
Right.
If I'm going to quench my thirst, it means I was thirsty.
For sure.
So if I'm going to quench the Spirit, that means I heard him and I'm like, nah, but shh.
Yeah, go on with that, Lord.
Right, like, I'm sorry, hold on, just turn around for 1 second, Jesus.
I ain't got time for that, Lord. Go on.
Right, but you're not going to feel good about that.
Right.
You're not going to willingly just, you know, that may be an area of weakness for you. That you're struggling in, but you're not going to feel good about it. People who sin and feel good about it and like truly can excuse it
right.
in their heart and just be like, oh, but it's whatever.
Right.
Then you need to question, are you saved?
You have to question it.
Question it because, you know, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Bad tree can't bear good fruit. So like, you know, and that gets tricky, you know, like, and we can't judge each other. The heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who could know it?
Who could know it?
You know, God is the only one who knows the heart. We only see the outward appearance. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're never going to sin. It's just how we feel about our sin that changes. And over time, that sin should lessen.
Right.
You know, so.
Absolutely. It should lessen. And it shouldn't be the same thing.
Yeah.
Addiction is one thing. Because I know there are, you know, Christians that really struggle with smoking or.
Yeah.
Or drinking. But it should be a progression.
Yeah.
Regardless. If you're trying, you know. But principles, that's where it started. And that's where it's going.
Yes.
Yes.
You ready?
I am ready. I was wondering if I was going to mix them up, but I'm not going to mix them. I'm just going to go right in order.
Me too.
But it's ladies first.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are.
You want to do one in one?
One in one.
Okay. All right. So my first one. Is Olivia Pope and Fitzgerald Grant.
That's a very
from Scandal.
Did they ever get married?
No. Remember at the end of the series they met each other on the street after he wasn't the president no more and she wasn't the
whatever.
Fixer anymore.
Yes.
And then they're all like, "Hi, I'm Fitz," and she's like, "Hi, I'm Olivia." So obviously they were gonna start life over again at that point.
Get on up out of this.
That was a hot mess.
Town.
Oh my goodness. But
what is the principle of them?
Yes. So the principle is run from temptation.
That's bars.
Okay. It's not.
That was bars.
Pretty straightforward. Because Fitz was married to Melanie Grant.
He certainly was.
And they were having issues in their marriage.
Yes.
Which he didn't realize his father had assaulted her.
Oh man, yes, that's right.
Yeah. And that caused issues for her. And then, you know, they had issues with their kids and then just issues with their relationship because he was busy all the time and she was neglected and she had ambitions and, you know, she had to be on the back burner to his ambitions. And, you know, they had their struggles, common struggles in marriage, not so much the father part, but his father, but the other things, common issues. But when you are having issues in your marriage with your spouse and you meet a young lady or a young man that you find attractive, and then they're nice to you and they seem to like you, run.
Get up out of there.
Run.
Like, literally run. Like, put foot to pavement and get to going.
Run.
People, we'd be too proud. We don't want to run.
That's it. And that's it. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah, don't be slick. Like, oh, I got this.
That's a scripture.
You
I feel
have
like that's
a mistress.
That is one of our scriptures for today.
We'll get to it. I see you. You're preaching. You're in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't looked in it yet, but you're in it.
All right, go ahead.
My number one is Lance and Charmaine from The Cosby Show.
Yes. Great couple.
Great couple. All right. A true black couple.
Yes.
You know, they fought, but they loved each other dearly.
And that's.
All right. And their fighting is low key, not even fighting. It's just precious. Like, it's just bickering. Lance. And he's like, you know, Charmaine. He's like a New Yorker. But their principle is it is okay to have a standard and stick to it. I remember vividly, like, Charmaine was like, Lance, he better be going to college.
Uh-huh.
And he ain't going to be getting none of this till I got a ring on my finger.
Uh-huh.
Like, That's the standard.
Yeah.
It is perfectly fine. And it, frankly, it is encouraged. Have a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And stick to it. I don't care how, you know, she like Alan Payne. I don't care if you're fine. I don't care. You going to college. You're going to be dealing with me. You better be doing something with your life.
Yeah.
And I need a ring.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff.
Let's get it.
All right, my second one.
I'm sorry, I actually put an interesting point, not to cut you.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
She was also a teenage pregnancy in Lean On Me.
Oh, that's true.
It's true. So she was trying to show her range, you know. She ain't want to be typecast.
Yes.
Like, I ain't going to be giving up draws on Lean On Me, and I'm going to be over here, you know, just giving up draws, too.
You know what? And that's something, I know that there's controversy about The Cosby Show at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to disrespect the body of work
right. Because
of the man right. Behind the work. It right. Doesn't take away from the quality and the impact
right. That
show had.
Certainly.
On, like, culture, on the black community, on, like, a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing I appreciated about The Cosby Show, which we talked about recently because you were saying with Bel-Air,
right. That
they're, which we haven't watched it yet, but we've heard that the new Bel-Air drama version, they're, like, turning upstanding black people from the original sitcom into people that are, like, now
unsavory.
And it's like, you know, Carlton would have never been on drugs.
Right.
Is that what you said it was?
That's what I heard. It's like,
oh, yeah, it's like drugs. This guy was in prep school, wanted to go to Harvard, right. Like just all tight-laced. Yeah. I do everything right. And now let's turn these upstanding black people into criminals and drug addicts and everything. And it's like, I get tired of seeing black people portrayed that way. And I know a lot of other people do too. So anyway, that's one thing I appreciated about The Cosby Show is they portrayed black people in a better light. They really
and
did.
That's necessary. I can't tell you the amount of people that said, like, these people who would have probably never went to college, but they saw a different world and it was like, oh, this is what college is.
Right.
And they actually was like, oh, maybe I should go to college. Like, it's crazy the impact that people can have off of, like, simple sitcoms.
You talked about that paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was too much time on one point.
I'm sorry.
We barring. Okay. So now you go to number two.
All right. My number two is Meredith Grey and Derek Shepherd.
Quality
from
couple.
Grey's Anatomy.
Very high paid couple.
I was going to say, I don't know about a quality couple. They were quite raggedy, but high paid. Ellen Pompeo and whatever his name is, for sure.
Yes, well, their characters as well.
Yes. Well, yes. And their characters. They were doctors.
Derek
yes.
was a brain surgeon.
Yes.
She was some sort of surgeon as well.
Yeah. I don't remember what she wound up picking as her.
Me neither.
Thing.
But what's their principle?
Their principle? I have like a dual principle.
Give it to me.
Because I couldn't decide. I have skip the drama. And make up your mind. Because with them, the drama was that they met in a bar not knowing who each other was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a one-night stand. But then she showed up for her internship at the hospital and found out he is the chief of brain surgery. Not chief, but you know what I'm saying. Whatever,
yes.
The head of brain
head
surgery.
Head
resident or whatever at her hospital. And they should have skipped the drama. Like, they really should have. It's like, y'all know this is going to be drama. You're not supposed to be sleeping with your superior.
Mm-hmm.
You are not supposed to be sleeping with an intern, sir. You're still married. He was still married to Addison.
Yes.
And they were, like, separated but not divorced.
Yeah.
Don't be messing with people that are separated. Yes. They are not divorced.
That's true.
And depending on the circumstances, biblically, they may need to go back to their spouse, you know, but like even in the incidents where there was some sort of infidelity or just something that's just really intolerable, you know, it's like, but they may make up with their spouse. You always have to leave it. I hear it more often than not that people want to try to work it out with their spouse. You don't get married lightly.
Yeah.
So it's like they may think it's over and then be like, oh, but wait, my family, you know, and now you sitting here. Drama.
Yes.
And as far as make up your mind, they were back and forth so many times.
Yes.
And that's part of the drama.
It's part of the drama.
That's part of y'all going to be together or not?
Are we going to be there or not? We don't know.
We don't know.
Yes.
So skip the drama. If you start a relationship off with drama, stop it. Just cut it off. Don't even move forward.
Please.
Save yourself some years of drama.
Have mercy. Number two, Doug and Carrie Heffernan.
Yes.
From King of Queens. Why? is, or what is the principle? The principle is be yourself.
Hmm.
Be yourself. Because they're like, for me, they're a typical couple.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the hottie and he's just a dude.
That's typical.
In my opinion, I mean, here's the thing. It's not super typical, but it's a good thing for people who are regular,
yeah,
who are men. Women, if you're more on the regular side, there is somebody there for you. But men are not like that.
Oh my gosh.
Look, it's the truth. We're not like that. But women are just better human beings. Like, she can find, like, his humor.
Yeah.
Like, he's just literally just a regular dude. He ain't got no great body, nothing. He just makes her laugh and loves her.
Right.
And she just is so in love with him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, men just ain't like that. Women are just better. You know, and then she's, you know, beautiful. And it's just like, why are you even with him?
Mm-hmm.
I like him. She's dead serious.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, be yourself. That's specifically for men. But even women, be yourself.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day.
And you want somebody who wants you.
You want somebody who wants you.
Yeah, as a person.
Doug and Carrie Heffernan.
A looker.
With a hilarious father.
Yes.
Arthur.
Good stuff.
It is funny.
All right. My number three is Luke and Lorelai from Gilmore Girls, which is my favorite show of all time. I am currently watching it for probably the fifth time.
It's terrible.
Because every time I try to find another show, they pale in comparison.
Okay.
My principle is marry your best friend. And I actually found a statistic, 68% of romantic relationships start from friendship.
Yeah, sounds good.
From Psychology Today. A lot of people don't want to risk the friendship. And I know with Luke and Lorelai, they were scared to ruin their friendship. And it made them hesitate to get together. And they should have just been together from day one. They wasted a lot of time and just went around to a lot of different people when it's like, y'all know y'all meant to be together.
Have mercy.
Marry your best friend.
My number three, Darnell and Maya.
Yes.
Ooh, what was their last name? Maya Wilkes.
Mm.
From Girlfriends.
Yes.
And the principle is that divorce is not the end.
Mm.
It's not the end. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll find, you know, that same person, because they divorced and just lived some years of apartness acting crazy and then came back together.
Yeah.
But like, there's love out there for you. It's not the end. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? We know God hates divorce. But if you found yourself divorced, hey, somebody else is out there to love you.
That's true.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's sweet. My number four is Randall and Beth from This Is Us.
This Is We.
And they are a very beloved couple. My principle is celebrate each other's strengths. What I love about Randall and Beth is that Randall is the more emotional of the two,
mm-hmm.
which commonly, especially in the Black community, I know for sure. But just in general, you know, there was always like this stigma where it's like men are supposed to be tough and no crying and
right.
no feelings.
No,
and women are the ones that are super emotional and can't control their emotions and all of that. You know, there was a stigma on both sides, you right. know. And in their relationship, Randall is super emotional
mm-hmm.
and Beth is super hardcore.
Right.
And like super driven and just focused, you know, and like Randall's more like, oh, but the meaning of life, you know, and
yeah.
but they celebrate each other's strengths and they work well together. And I think in marriage, you have to define within your marriage, like, I may be better with the money than you are. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to let your ego get in the way and be like, you can't handle the money, I'm handling the money.
Right.
You know, and vice versa.
Vis-a-vis.
Yes.
Very good. My number four, Steve Urkel. And Myra Monkhouse.
Yes, Monkhouse.
Myra was always better than Laura. All men know this. All right, she was tiny and just lovely. All right, you know, she's since passed.
Yeah,
she
God passed bless
some
her.
Years ago, Michelle Thomas. But here's the principle: no matter how awkward you are, there is someone for you.
Yes.
All right. Now that's men and women. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a little bit of awkward. Some people just are off the deep end. He eats cheese and he out here snorting. His pants ain't never seen his shoes. He's driving a one-seater car. And Myra is just like, I got to have that man. And she meant it and would fight you for him. Keep playing. there is somebody out there for you.
Your message of the day.
Don't care how awkward and quirky you are.
That is so true.
Yes.
Very true.
That's my number four, Irkman and Myra Monkhouse.
All right. So my number five is Jane and Raphael from Jane the Virgin.
Yes.
And my principle is first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage.
Okay.
Because with now Jane and Raphael, of course, this is TV. Mm-hmm. They had a weird situation. She was spoiler alert. She was artificially inseminated by his sperm accidentally. Mm-hmm. The doctor switched up patient records.
Oh boy.
And she was supposed to be artificially inseminating his wife. And she inseminated Jane instead. And Jane was a virgin, hence the name of the show, Jane the Virgin.
Yikes.
So Jane winds up pregnant. Of course, they got to figure out how to co-parent. Mm-hmm. And he has a wife.
Yes.
But it just made me think about real life where like some people mess with a man that has a wife,
mm-hmm,
and get pregnant by him.
Get pregnant.
Some people, they may not be married or be in a relationship with anybody, but right, they may have a one night stand and get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then have to deal with how are we going to co-parent. They went through so much drama, and Jane was also in a relationship and that was messing up her relationship and everything. But aside from that, even if you're single, having these one night stands or sleeping with people that you're just dating,
yeah,
and getting pregnant, it happens. Pop up mistakes, slip throughs happen.
It does.
And it really gets real complicated. And if you were in that situation or you already have the child, God bless you. The baby's a gift from the Lord. You know, God will bring you through. Mm-hmm. But if you still have a chance to try not to do that, I'm pretty sure anyone who has would not advise you to.
Surely.
Yeah.
So that's number five.
Yes.
My number five is Burke and Christina.
Yes.
That's another nod to Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Burke, Isaiah Washington, and Sandra Oh, I
mm-hmm
believe.
Mm-hmm.
They were two very driven people. Mm-hmm. So here's the principle. Husbands, lead your women and allow her to learn from you. It doesn't diminish either one of you.
Hmm.
Yikes. What it means is like he was the heart surgeon and she had to learn heart surgery from him.
Mm-hmm.
But they both were great at what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Her learning from him didn't diminish her. It just really just made her better. And just as the man is supposed to be, you're actually supposed to like kind of teach and be the leader of your family and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it doesn't diminish anybody else in the family. I mean, children are children, right? But mm-hmm eventually they'll grow up to be men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't diminish them. You'll just lead and create an example mm-hmm of giving.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy, too, because at some point she had to operate for him because he had the hand tremor.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also similar to marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So my number, what number am I on?
Six.
One, two, three, four, five. Yes, indeed. My number six is Steve/Stefan and Laura. So Steve and Stefan.
Boo.
And Laura. My principle is character over looks and popularity.
Yes.
Oftentimes, you know, Laura was so smitten over Stefan. And the thing is, at the heart of Stefan was Steve Urkel.
Right.
You're in love with Steve.
That's bars.
Yeah. Because they both are all loving and kind and gentle and thoughtful and all of that.
Yeah.
But Stefan is finer and mm-hmm smoother and more popular.
Right.
And you're less embarrassed to go out with
certainly
him. But she finally came to her senses because Stefan was also feeling himself too much.
He was out here. I'm in Paris. I'm modeling this weekend. Can't take you out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you want somebody who's going to be a good partner,
mm-hmm,
not somebody who's looking good on your arm. And if you're really blessed, you may have both.
That's true.
But character overlooks impopularity.
Yes, you're welcome. And my number six, Robert and Jerry Ann Peterson from The Parenthood, which was like a more urban Cosby show,
yes,
some would say. Mm-hmm. Clearly not as successful, but still a great show. A lot mm-hmm of great people mm-hmm were on it. But here's the principle. Marriage can work for two high-performing people. Mm-hmm. He was a professor. She was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, they made it work. Mm-hmm. Like they were in their children's lives. They weren't like neglecting them.
Right.
And they were both doing well at their jobs.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
More straightforward. So basically, I mean, you can do it all. It's just about where you place your priorities. Mm-hmm. Nothing is stopping the woman or the man from doing really wonderful things and still being able to be in your children's lives, mm-hmm. and parent them and, you know, still have success. Sometimes we feel like we're giving up stuff. And that's true. You do give up some things, but you don't have to give up everything.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. I think the most important thing in that is that what God called you to do?
That's a
because he'll bless it and he'll make it doable.
It's true.
If he called you to do it.
It's very true.
Yeah. My number 7, right?
Yes.
Is Dan and Roseanne from Roseanne.
That's funny.
And my principle for them is to be best friends. You know, my other one was marry your best friend, but for them, stay best friends.
Right.
Dan and Roseanne, they literally just used to, they're like the way you described us in the beginning of this episode. Always laughing together, always joking, mm-hmm. you know, just buddy, buddy.
Buddy, buddy.
And it's very endearing. And they weren't rich. They weren't super successful or anything, but they were just so happy together.
Sure enough.
And really, that's priceless.
Yeah, it is the best part of our relationship.
Yeah.
My number 7, Mike and Frankie Heck.
Yes.
My boo and tall man. Mike and Frankie Heck from The Middle.
Yes.
And the Middle is like a white Good Times in modern day.
That is such a good example.
It is, because like there's no violence really, but the poorness that they experience and just struggle is real. It's like, yeah, I got the, I don't know what, they were holding a hair dryer on the toaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like true thug material. But
I mean, they also make poor financial decisions. They don't have poor, to be as poor as they are.
Very poor financial decisions. We don't have no money, but we eat out every night for dinner.
We'll do a finances episode on another day.
Why not? Might as well. But the principle is, even when you're dead broke, you will still have each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we don't got much, but we certainly got each other.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in a position as a couple, you are married, it's just like, man, we are broke. It's like, hey, at the end of the day, you still have each other.
You do.
You still have a teammate.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
You still can build.
Wow.
Know? You're not just out here alone. It's you and your spouse together.
And don't expect to be here at the beginning of your marriage. Some people do wait until their careers are together, or they just don't find their spouse until their careers are together and they've already progressed in life. But if you get married young, don't compare yourself to the gram. Like, you're
Please
not going to start off your life up here.
Please,
you're going to build up to that. But it's beautiful to do it together.
And let me just side note, people on the gram, there's people catching people on the gram lying.
That's true.
You know, and posting like this, you know, I remember it was a young lady taking a picture like, yeah, she brought all these gift bags and sat them on some Mercedes Benz and started taking pictures. Of course, did not buy the car.
Oh, my gosh.
She's at the establishment, got stuff and sitting around it like, oh, this is how you get business and blah, blah, blah. Go to my business page. Ain't buy no car. Got some empty bags from some nice places, taking pictures and going, just leave. Do not be believing everything you see on Instagram.
For real. It's edited. It's cropped. It's lies sometimes. Sure enough, Jesus. Lies. And you don't know. I'm sorry. A quote I heard that I really love is, don't compare your chapter 1 to somebody else's chapter 7.
Sure enough.
I love that. Because you may be seeing pictures and videos of their chapter 7 and you don't know what the chapters were before they got where they are.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yes. They just, you know, you just moved out the projects.
Right, right.
JJ. You know, Lauda. Jane. You just got out the projects. They've been out the projects for 20 years.
Right. Know? Yeah, good stuff.
Yes, you moving on up. They've been moved on up.
Right. All right. My number 8 is Hillary and Trevor.
Hilarious.
From Fresh Prince.
What is the principle for this?
Choose someone who challenges you.
What? In what manner?
Because Hillary and Trevor were both just self-centered.
Completely.
Like airheads. And it's like, you don't want to get with somebody who shares your weaknesses.
That's funny.
You know what I mean? And I know that it's funny with them. They're just hilarious. But right. In real life, that's horrible. Yeah. You don't want to, if you're bad with money, and then you marry somebody who's bad with money.
Y'all going to be out here prostituting as a couple.
My God.
You can have
a whole
one,
different type of swinging.
Either one of us, which one you want.
Mercy.
We both available.
You know, but seriously, yes. You don't shy away from somebody who raises your standards.
Yes.
Maybe like point. Encourages you to get to another level. Like, yeah. And yeah, like you're supposed to balance each other out. Like your weaknesses are my strengths.
Right.
My weaknesses are your strengths. And we're going to help each other.
Right.
You know, to do better in life. Like, don't get with somebody who's just as sorry
just
as you
out
are.
Here, man. You homeless and he homeless too. My Lord.
Well, I feel like that don't count.
I mean, it
that
don't.
May be a love story.
That's a fair. All right, you homeless and he homeless, but y'all both homeless because y'all got a gambling problem.
Okay, well, yes, you have a gambling problem and he has a gambling problem. Don't marry him.
Oh man,
don't start a relationship with this person.
Y'all gonna be on the run, boy. That house is gonna be up. Y'all done, man, that mortgage got fumbled. My eight, Pote and Carrie Ann. From Queen of the South.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's very... Queen of the South is about the Mexican drug cartel action type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pote is her right-hand man. And Carrie Ann is a woman she basically saved and befriended who would just happen to be like an accountant lawyer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the principle. Being completely different people doesn't mean it can't work. Opposites can still attract.
We have such similar principles.
It's good because they're principles. They're supposed to be similar. But it's like Pote is he's a sicario.
Mm-hmm.
He's a right-hand man of a cartel leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie Ann is a dainty southern accountant
mm-hmm.
who falls in love with Pote and Pote falls in love with her. And here they are, a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Precious. He's like a Mexican thug,
mm-hmm.
but like an older one. So he's funny. He's not like wild. He's like a calculated older man who just mm-hmm. happens to be a cartel leader on the side. And she's just over here and they end up having a baby. It's just like, all right. What does she see in Pote? Once again, it's the Doug and Carrie.
No, that's true, though. Opposites attract and opposites help each other.
Yes.
For real.
So she's trying to, hey, maybe we could ease up on the gun shooting. Let's just have coffee in the morning. We don't have to practice the shooting. Now let's put the bullets away. Let's have a little cup of coffee. He's like, okay. He spoke like, first of all, he's putting on an accent because I've seen him other stuff. He don't talk like that. But he's like, what are you doing? What are you going to do with Tresita?
Okay,
you have to protect Tresita, mijo. That was a great. He's never said mijo, but the same thing. We have to protect Tresita, hermanos. For the family. That was a perfect impression.
Okay.
I wish you would have heard.
You're hilarious. All right. My number nine is Sinclair and Overton from
Classic.
Living Single.
Classic.
Yes. And my principle for them is keep the crush.
Keep the crush. He loved him some Sinclair.
And she loved her some Obi.
Yes.
You know, like they just had a crush on each other forever.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's beyond being best friends.
That is.
That's more of a just like, I still get butterflies when I see you.
Get the flies.
You know? And like, yeah, I don't know. But I think that you can be active in trying to like keep your crush on your spouse, like, you know, what are those things? What about them gave you butterflies in the beginning? Yeah. What are those things that you love about them? Like,
you know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Okay, Lord Jesus.
Your sweetness.
Oh, for me. Okay.
Yes, it's your sweetness.
Thank you. I thought you were going to say why I get butterflies you're.
No, I don't know. I know you like my arm sometimes. Got a nice back, but
okay.
I don't know if that's enough for butterflies. Oh, man. Well, my number nine is Sandra and Elvin.
Yeah. Good
this
one.
Is a classic couple.
Yes.
Because Elvin be drawling. Sandra be drawling too, but Elvin be drawling.
She was very patient with him.
She was very patient. But sometimes, all right, sometimes you just have to start over completely. That's the principle.
Wow.
Because here we are, we're doing a podcast. We were not podcast 10 episodes ago, literally 10 episodes ago, we were just people doing something completely different. And just as Elvin, he comes out of medical school and they're buying him a beautiful stethoscope. And he's like, I feel like I don't know about this whole be a doctor thing. I think we're just going to go open up a camp store. And she's just over there like, yeah.
Yeah. And she let go of being a lawyer. For a minute.
Yes, they're just like, we ain't going to do it. Hey, we open up a camp store. That's what we doing.
Right.
And people over here is like, what drugs are they on? Do you know how much money we just paid for you to bop up? Hey, sometimes you got to start over.
That's true.
You know how much time we've spent being musicians, singing?
Mm-hmm.
We still do that, but sometimes you just got to start a new thing.
It's true. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
What's your 10? What's your...
Yes, the drum roll, please. My number 10, we're sticking with Living Single, Max and Kyle.
Two thugs.
Max and Kyle. And
thugs in a blanket.
And that is part of my principle. My principle is back down.
Oh, that's a good principle. Okay.
Yeah, back down. Because they are two very stubborn people.
Yes.
And part of the reason that they took so long to even get together was they were too busy trying to say, like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. And put each other down, you know, like just ego in the way. Yeah. And nobody could just step back and be like, okay, fine.
My Lord.
And it reminded me how of in relationships and in marriage.
Yeah.
If you have two very strong-willed, strong-headed people that are just like, nobody's ever just going to take the L.
Nobody's going to take the L.
It's not going to work.
They're just going to fight for the rest of their lives, one or two.
Yeah.
I know a couple like that. I won't say their names.
Hilarious. My Lord,
just say okay. Say okay.
Sometimes you really do just have to say okay, for real. And not every time. You take turns taking the L.
My goodness.
You take turns taking the L, but like somebody has to be the one to say okay.
Somebody
that's enough.
Has to say okay.
All right, okay.
Amen.
Amen.
And my number 10 is Martin and Gina.
Yes.
Martin Payne and Gina Waters.
Mm-hmm.
We know why, because they always kept it spicy. That's the principle.
Okay.
Is always keep your relationship spicy. It never lost any flame. They were always just like, yo, you're my boo.
Mm-hmm.
And we are about to get it in.
It's true.
Throw the red pumps on. Let's get on in this room. It's about to go down. Like, let's get to it.
Right.
And no matter how old you are.
Yep.
Keep it spicy and love that woman. Woman, love that man.
Yeah.
Love you, boy. Love you, girl.
Every time.
Every time.
You know, that just reminded me of the skit that happened at my bridal shower.
Oh, Lord.
Keep the flame burning.
Keep the flame burning. Have mercy.
My mother-in-law and her sister did a skit at my bridal shower. And Ron actually wasn't supposed to be there. You were just going to drop me off, but then I was like, you might as well just come in. Why not?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yep, and then you did anyway.
I don't remember the skit, though.
Oh, I do. She came in and was talking about, I think Aunt Martha came over or something, and she's like, what you doing? She's like, getting ready for a date with whoever, my husband. And she's like, oh, and she's like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna get me some tonight, something like that. And Aunt Martha's like, oh, y'all still be doing that? It was something along those lines. A whole skit about keeping the fire burning, which is very funny when your mother-in-law does it.
It is. Have mercy.
But I appreciated it.
Yeah. So let's look in the book.
All right.
Philippians 3:17. Join together in fellowship.
In following.
Why did I just make that word up? Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the main point, is even looking at sitcoms and just TV shows, it's like, you know, you can still draw from that stuff. Most of that stuff isn't real.
Right.
But there's still pretty good principles that you can draw on them.
Yeah.
Whether it be from being yourself to enjoying each other sexually, praise God, keeping it spicy, to just loving each other even when times is really hard.
Yep.
Being able to move on from divorce and whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it said that like it's a quote or something that like TV imitates life or
art,
whatever.
Art imitates life.
Art imitates life, yes. So like even though those aren't real characters.
Yeah.
You know, it's real situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, it's just follow the example of people who are doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you glean from them, hey, if that was drawling, don't be drawling.
Right.
Hey, that was great. Do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:11-13. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. This is the NIV. On whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall.
Mm-hmm.
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful in that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Amen.
You tie those together and it says, really, to be humble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to be humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
If you are too proud, it's like God is trying. It's basically it's like he's pushing you away. It's like, just get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But because just by nature, you being too proud is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous notion because... because dust can't be proud. Mm-hmm. Let's just make that plain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's nothing you can do without God. How dare you be so proud? He humbled himself just to love you.
Yeah.
You heathen. Your heathen ways, right? He humbled himself just to love us. How dare we be too proud for anything?
Yeah.
Right? But he gives grace to the humble. Given that grace is like he's giving you things you don't even deserve. That's mm-hmm. what grace is. Here, you don't deserve this. Here, take it. Here, mm-hmm. take it. Here, take it. Just because you're in right standing.
Yeah.
But you in that humility, it helps you to be able to look at others' examples and realize I'm no different than these people except for the decisions.
If it were not for the grace of God.
But for the grace of God,
there go I.
Right? If it weren't for these, weren't for just decisions I've made, I could be in the same exact situation.
That's right.
So you take heed lest you fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could fall into the same thing. This is the reason why we can't judge.
Yep. Yeah, for real. For real. We really can't. And that's what we were saying earlier when I was saying that it's in the scripture for today. When we were talking about struggling to be true to our own principles.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't want to think that we are too strong or too good to not fall into something. You run.
Get out of there.
Run away from temptation. That's what it was with Olivia and Fitz, I think, is what when I was saying that maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't remember when we referenced it earlier, but all I knew was it was coming up in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But I think it was Olivia and Fitz where like, don't think that you're strong enough.
Right. To fight it
and put yourself in compromising situations like, oh, yeah, it's not. I'm not going to do that. That would never be
me.
I could never cheat on my wife.
Never.
I could never ruin my reputation. I could never lose my job over this. I could never.
Certainly.
But yes, you can.
Yep. Make an album.
Yes, you can. You are human.
Number 3. Sorry.
Yes. Every time you were in LA, you were with your ex-girlfriend.
Every single time. There was no time in between that I was not with her.
Yes.
I'm
no, it could literally, it could be you.
Right.
It could have been me.
It should have been me. That's the bar I sing.
If
I
it wasn't it. For the blood.
If it wasn't for the blood.
Yeah.
So, we hope you enjoyed this moment in time.
Amen.
Our 10th episode, which means we have some semblance of consistency. That means we're in it.
Woohoo, to win it.
In it to win it. And as we said at the beginning, please subscribe and share. Make comments, make reviews, whether they be good or bad, whatever they may be. Feedback is welcomed, and sharing and getting this out. Number one, this is food and nourishment for the soul of marriages for somebody.
Amen.
Somebody needs it, otherwise we wouldn't be making it. So
amen.
You click whatever button is closest to you, and we will see you, Lord willing, next week.
All right.
Hopefully we won't be having mic trouble next
week.
Whatever's the issue. Hopefully it'll be worked out by then. But either way, we'll be here at the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. We want you to get married, stay married. Two are better than one, because if one falls, the other one is able to help pick that other one back up.
Amen.
My love.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too.
And we love y'all.
Love y'all.
So we'll see y'all next week. Come on back in. We'll have something for you.
God bless you all.